Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here Monday morning, March the 16th, 2026. 3:16:26. 13 coming up on 14 minutes past the hour. And we've had a great morning so far here on WGH Talk Radio. If you'd like to weigh in on anything, feel free to give us a buzz. 740-383-9944. We certainly appreciate the conversation. And if you have gotten a busy signal, just keep trying back in. 740-383-9944. We'd love to hear from you. We had an interesting conversation in hour number one about Marion General Hospital recently being rated a five-star hospital by Forbes magazine. I don't know if it is or it isn't, to be honest with you. But I think this talk show is going to be a five-star talk show now, because I'm not really sure what any of these ratings mean, which I guess is what the point of that conversation actually was. What is five star? Now, if we say a restaurant's five star, if we say a hospital is five star, if we say a government is five star, what does it really mean in the end? You know, what we guess we can say it. Five star talk show here. We don't really know what it means, but we hope you're getting the best experience out of it possible. And again, phone lines are open. If you have anything to say in regard to Marion General, good or bad, I think it's worth hearing. I certainly think those things are very positive both ways, because not everybody goes to the hospital a whole lot. 740-383-9944. You know, I'm still a little ticked off this morning from getting a Dr. Pepper instead of a large Diet Coke. Now, see there, I have to knock a star off of the McDonald's on Route 95 because of the Dr. Pepper this morning. I'm pretty sure it was Dr. Pepper. That's kind of what it tasted like. It definitely was not a regular soda. I don't know why those things get mixed up, but I guess, like I learned in hour number one, you just have to overlook those things, and you've got to say, you know, not everybody gets it right all the time. I certainly don't get it right all the time. City Council Committee meetings tonight at City Hall, second floor, 6:30 p.m. Should be interesting. The big flock camera conversation will happen tonight. I don't know. You know, that seems to be a split discussion. There is some people, there are some people who feel that the flock cameras are a very good idea. There's a whole other group of people who feel that the flock cameras are a very bad idea. Now, last we heard, if the city does not get a grant to fund the flock cameras, they're going to go away. Now, I don't know if we have been given an update on if those grants have come through or not, but it's an interesting conversation. People feel very passionately about those flock cameras. Does anybody out there have any thoughts on that? 740-383-9944. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning, Scott. How are you today?
I'm good. It's a nice Monday morning.
It's a little cool, I mean, compared to what we had yesterday, but March reminded us that it's still March.
It was a nice day yesterday, and we are still in winter for five or six more days, depending on who you talk to.
What did you think about that wind event on Friday?
Well, I was shocked that, like there was a tree down in St. Mary's Cemetery that had to have been there, you know, hundreds of years, and it was down. Same thing on the boulevard. But I did...
What did it look like when you were going home? Because what time did you leave the studio? I'm just curious. I'm trying to...
Well, yeah, I left...
We were dealing with forest fires over here on Mary Street, well, the urban forest fires.
Well, yeah, that's...
I'm curious what the rest of the town was looking like.
Well, that's what was weird. When I left the studio, probably about 1:30, none of that had happened yet. So, you know, I went home, and I did some things, and I started, when I came back to the studio, at, I probably left about 5:30 to come back here Friday night. That's when I saw the destruction everywhere. That's when I saw shingles that had blown up.
Yes.
Yeah, it was bad then. Bad then.
The fire started, we knew we were in for some wind, but we started hearing fire trucks and everything early, and I mean, that's very close to where I live, like a quarter of a mile, and so, I mean, obviously you're hearing sirens, you want to know what's going on, make sure everything's okay, or, you know, seek shelter, what do I need to do? And we heard the fire, and then it just was progressively getting worse. I mean, embers were burning firefighters' jackets, they couldn't see, they're talking about roofs collapsing, now the house next door is caught fire. They're calling people in from all around. I mean, they need all hands on deck. And they fought that fire for hours because the wind just was relentless. And it was literally like they were fighting a forest fire. And my son, teenager, wanders off to McDonald's while this is all going on. And the smoke was so thick that in the middle of the day, it looked like it was a full-on fog at McDonald's, a couple blocks away.
Well, I hope they didn't give him a Dr. Pepper.
No, he got the Diet Coke. That's happened. Dr. Pepper seems to be, I'm the Diet Coke drinker also, and they seem to mix it up with Dr. Pepper when they mess it up. That's what the screw up. That or Coke Zero. Have you ever got a Coke Zero?
You know, I don't think so. Ugh. But boy, the Dr. Pepper was a little different this morning. When you're expecting one thing and you get another.
And you probably took a nice big drink because that first sip just hits right.
Yeah, because it's the first real thing you've had in the morning. And boy, oh boy, that was different this morning.
The first hit of your drug in the morning is just, you know, it's like taking the first hit of your cigarette or whatever. You take the first hit of your Diet Coke and it just hits just right, gets you just right. And then all of a sudden it's Dr. Pepper.
You know, I think a lot of people do that at Starbucks. They go down there and they get their whatever they get, karma, frappe, whatever. People don't think Starbucks is a cult. Now, that's one I'm going to have to stand by. I can ease up on the hospital a little bit and say that it's all subjective behavior. But Starbucks, that's a cult.
You know, a lot of that coffee stuff is, but I'll tell you, it is very, very, very disappointing to pay $6 or $7 for a coffee and it not be right. And the line be 20 minutes long, so you can't go back in and have a fix. I mean, ultimate disappointment. Ruin your day.
And they're baristas there. See, that's why I think it's a cult. They've got their own language.
People, no, I'm telling you, there is completely different. Being a barista is a skill. People go to school to learn how to make special coffees. They learn how to make their little frothy milk and their shapes and their hearts and what equations and how to roast the beans just right and... It really is an art. It's kind of like being a real bartender that's gone to bartending school and knows how to, you know, your jiggers and your shakings and stirs and all your drink recipes and all of that stuff. They know more than just the person at McDonald's that's pouring a cup of coffee into a styrofoam.
Yeah, but you think everybody at Starbucks has that training?
I think they get that training before they make your coffee. My niece works at 7 Brew, for example. When you start there, you start out poking orders into the cash register. And as you show yourself to be more reliable and dependable, you become one of the people that work in there making the coffees. And you train. You don't just get turned loose on it. I mean, there's recipes. And espresso is different than coffee, too. And their drinks are all espresso-based. I don't know if people realize that. So, I mean, building an espresso drink is different than pouring a cup of coffee. I've done some like barista type training here at home. I bought an espresso maker and some of the equipment just so I could make my own coffee and not spend $7 and be disappointed. And it's much more than just pouring a cup of coffee. I mean, there's Americanos and there's macchiatos and there's lattes and there's cappuccinos, and those all mean something different as far as the equation to milk and coffee and espresso and that sort of thing.
Yeah, but you know, I'm still I am positive that is some kind of a social experience, social experiment.
Here's where it gets culty, Spears.
Yeah.
It's glitter cups come out, okay?
Well, there you go.
Or it'll be like free cup day at Starbucks, and the line will be 2 hours long. And next thing you know, that cup that was free will be on the internet on eBay for $200. And the poor soul that couldn't get there on free cup day will pay $200 to have the Starbucks cup.
See, why? Why?
I don't know. Back to the niece at Seven Brew.
Yeah.
Because she has a... They give out little swaggy stuff, too. They were giving out old, think 1970s-style motel room keychains. Weird, like, rhombus-shaped, weird, just... Nothing. Who wants it? Plastic, says Seven Brew. They're on the internet for $25. She's like, I've got three of them. Do you want one? I said, put them on eBay, honey, and pay your electric bill.
Is that where we are now? My goodness.
I mean, I'm like the little rubber bracelets that, you know, like Livestrong, Think Lance Armstrong, that kind of stuff.
Right.
Seven Brew. Those will be on the internet for $15, $20. They were free.
Jeez.
The little ducks that everybody has in their Jeeps, Seven Brew was giving them out. $150 on eBay right now. And people buy them.
Oh, those
That's
came from Seven Brew. I wondered where those came from. I didn't understand why people were having rubber duckies in their cars.
That's a Jeep thing. I don't know why the car people are trying to get in, and I guess they want to be part of it, too, but the ducks are supposed to be a Jeep thing. But, yeah, the swag, that's where it gets culty. Like, there was a Starbucks at Christmas time. They made their Christmas cup. It looked like a teddy bear, like a honey jar.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, those people were going crazy. I saw it on the news, Starbucks just elbow to elbow of people trying to get their hands on one of these cups.
You know what this makes me think of? It's the language that people use now, too. There are two words that I find kind of funny because, you know, I work with a lot of younger people. And the two words that I hear the most often, which I think obviously are part of the vernacular now when it comes to kids, and I've even heard some older people try to get away with it, but I think when the older people try to do it, it doesn't sound exactly right, is rage bait. I think rage bait.
My son says it a lot.
Yeah, rage bait. I think, I'm not even sure, I get what they're trying to say with rage bait, but I don't think that's even a real thing. And number two is everybody calls everybody bro. Hey, bro. Hey, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't understand that either, but okay.
It's a term of endearment. I've accepted it as a term of endearment.
Yeah, but we call everybody bro.
Well, yeah, including your mother.
Yeah, but even people we don't like, we call bro, you know? So I'm not sure if it is. I don't call anybody bro, but I just, when I hear them doing it, then I'll start calling them bro, you know?
Oh, I call my son bro. Come on out, bro.
Okay, well, there we go.
I wouldn't call you bro. I mean, I've said it in slang and conversation, you know, trying to be silly, but. No, I don't think that's an older
person. So you wouldn't use it in a normal conversation?
If I was trying to be slangish or dramatic or like, bro, you know, something like that. But no, it wouldn't be part of my everyday. Dude is my go-to. I'm a 90s baby. I can't help it.
Well, how do you feel about rage bait? Because I think that's fake.
You don't think it's real? You don't think that there's a psychological thing that they put stories on there that incent you and make you want to click and type your angry comments?
Well, that might be rage bait, but I don't think you can rage bait somebody in like person. I don't think that that's a real thing. I think.
Oh yeah, you can. Yeah, you can try to.
Really, you think people purposely do that?
I think that Collins the other night the last time I was at council, he tried to do it. When I said, you know, what I was saying about accounting, and he's like, whether she chooses to believe it or not. And then I went back up there to say, and somebody, when I was walking past me, said, don't take the bait. Which I wasn't going to. I just went up there and said, hey, real accountants demand proof. We don't just take people's words for it. So no, I'm not going to believe anything anyone says until they show it to me on paper.
See, I'm not sure.
I believe that Collins was trying to bait me. Either that or he's just a jerk and, you know. I think he was trying to bait me into a response.
See,
I'll be honest with you. I will totally walk. If I think I can make somebody look like an idiot, and that's my intention, I will totally walk them down that path and hold their hand and let them flip out and make themselves look like an idiot. I will totally bait somebody into a situation to make themselves look worse.
Okay. Now Matt's out there listening this morning. Now, he is saying, say something that you know someone won't like, just to get them upset. That's rage baiting. So.
But is that rage baiting or is it telling the truth?
Well, see, this is where I have the problem. Because I have been accused of rage baiting by two people. just two people. And I'm really what I'm doing is I'm telling them the truth. But they think, see, then they believe that can't possibly be true about them. So I must be rage baiting them. But no, I'm just telling you the truth. So I don't think that's rage baiting.
No, telling the truth is not rage baiting. So I could see how some of the things that I do are considered rage baiting, but no, I'm just telling the truth in an uncomfortable manner.
Like there's a girl I know, I cannot remember her boyfriend's name to save my life because I don't see him. He lives in a different city, but I always want to inquire how he is, and I'll say, how's, and then I realize I can't remember his name correctly, and because I can't remember his name, she thinks that I'm rage baiting her, and I say, no, I
really,
just...
Really? Now that, I mean, that's not rage baiting. Like, you know, saying your mom's an untoward woman, that's rage baiting. Not remembering somebody's name, oh my gosh, my poor husband, he can't remember anybody's name.
Right, well, and now Matt's saying, you'd have to have the intention of upsetting them. See, and I think that's...
How do we know people's intentions? We don't know people's intentions.
Well, we don't know people's intentions. Well, I think it's more on you. If you think you've been rage baited, you know, then are you rage baiting or you've been accused of it? As long as you know you didn't do it intentionally, then it's not rage baiting.
How about we all just realize what rage bait is and don't jump on it and be responsible for our own actions?
Like recently, I said somebody had no sympathy and empathy. And now I was not trying to rage bait them because I did not do that in front of a group of people. So was that rage bait?
No, if you're having a conversation with someone one-on-one, if it's a friend or whatever and you're telling them the truth, I don't see how that's meant to enrage them.
No, and I did not...
People have a hard time telling each other the truth and being honest with each other, because then when you do, why do you hate me? I don't. That's why I'm telling you the truth.
Honestly, that one, I did not understand. I did not believe that was going to be that touchy. I did not realize that would be the thing that I would be accused of rage baiting. But, you know, you live and you learn, I guess.
So, you know, here's your solution to that problem. Here's the next time you see her, you say, how's the other half?
See? Oh, so you clean it up.
How's the other half doing?
So,
keeping
so,
up to these days.
Well, now see, but this becomes a problem because I'm not, see, I don't like, I can do small talk, but if I know you fairly well and I know you past the point where I'm going to ask how the weather is and all that sort of thing, I want to have a deeper conversation than how's the weather, how's, you know, blah, 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 how's the family, that horse.
Well, then don't bring him up anymore. And when she says some name that you don't recognize, assume that's him.
Well, I guess I'll have to. I'm not going to inquire anymore how this boyfriend is because
no,
I don't.
Unless she offers, do not ask. Exactly. And like I said, if she mentions Josh and you have no clue who Josh is, feel safe in assuming that's his name.
Oh, and sometimes I've went in and said a name and it's been the wrong name. Then there's real trouble.
Wow.
Yeah, then so, I'm really rage baiting them.
Yeah. But flock cameras. You were talking about
flock
how
cameras.
The city's going to pay for them. I found out some interesting things. Did some research about the whole flocked up situation. You know, the police department tends to run pretty heavy in their budget. I don't care what they say. And they're actually one of the funds that's part of the $8.9 million that's overdrawn. I'm just going to call it that now so people kind of... I think that makes a little more sense, don't you?
I say.
Overdrawn. So the police department's one of those accounts that's overdrawn. But they tend to run excessively heavy in their budget. And as we've heard, the budget was already increased $1 million from the last one they passed in December to now. So even though we were supposed to be cutting our budget, we actually added $1 million to it. Now, my thought and what I've been told is a good possibility and good likelihood is that Jay McDonald will just move about $100,000 around in the police department budget and pay for that flock contract anyway.
See, I don't... I would find
something or they'll say, we're just going to cut this or we're going to cut that, and it's in the name of safety, and we're getting the cameras, or we're renewing the contract. We already have the cameras. We're renewing the contract.
Well, see, if that's true, then once again, they've made a major mistake because they stood up, you know, what, 2 or 3 weeks ago and said, if we don't get this grant, we're not going to have them. They said that.
Do you believe they'll just cut that program completely?
I don't believe
they're bringing someone in to talk about them 5-6 weeks before their funding is due to expire for no, just purely out of coincidence.
Well, I thought that Thad invited somebody. Thad Smith.
Who knows if Thad invited him or not, because it's his committee. That doesn't mean he invited him. It doesn't mean that Jay McDonald didn't bring him here. Because remember, Mike Neff was adding people to committees, and he wasn't even on city council anymore.
Well, again, I think it all comes down to what Jay McDonald said in that whole conversation. He said, if we do not get the grant, we will not have these. So if they're shuffling...
He also told us that they were cutting the budget, and we're actually over the budget from what we were. So they've told us a lot of things, Scott. I don't... Trust but verify. I don't believe anything they say. They've told us these cameras were used for nothing but good purposes. When there was an audit done by it's an organization that does basically auditing on public agencies as far as whether they're following the laws and their own procedures and things like that. It's Electronic Something Foundation. And they were did a nationwide study about SWAT cameras and their misuse. And the thing about SWAT cameras that people don't realize is that it's owned by a third party. The government does not own this information. A third party does. We pay them to maintain the cameras, maintain the database, and then our police officers have access to it. That means my phone was dinging. That means that people can access it, okay? Like, if I have enough money, I can get a hold of these flock people, and I can access those records. So if I have some scorned lover that I want to keep track of and follow their license plates and everything else, I can, like, pay flock and ask where they've been everywhere in the last 30 days. But our cameras have been misused. Our cameras haven't just been used to find the elderly and children and everything else. They've been used when the No Kings rallies were going on. They were checking the areas then to see what was going on. And for no reason. They weren't used for a crime. They weren't used to locate a missing person. They were just surveilling the area to see who was coming and going.
Well, I guess my...
During that
right.
time.
Well, I guess
so
my...
I've got someone at my door.
Okay.
Bye.
All right. Well, the phone lines are open. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. I just think if the grant does not come through, that is going to be such an easy thing to hit the police department on if they pay for it with another fund. Because people are this whole flock camera thing was brought up by somebody in the audience at city council. So if the flock cameras are still around in May and the grant was not gotten, I think somebody's probably going to ask the question, how are these still being paid for? Why are these still up? And if somebody says the budget, well, that's going to be a whole different can of worms, I think. Go ahead.
Okay, that was important. I had a furnace out next door.
Oh, yeah. Well,
yeah. It's a furnace and three roofs in a couple of days. So it's been a good time. But back to flock cameras. So I can access this. If I want to know where Scott Spears has been and what he's been doing, I can access all your comings and goings in Marion County for the last 30 days. But the fact that law enforcement is using it for a reason other than it was intended, which is, find lost children, missing elders, that sort of thing, they've already abused it. So I know of one instance where they found a kid that left the city. I think it was internet situations. A person from Indiana came and picked him up. And they found him in Indiana. Those cameras didn't prevent that crime. And it was pretty obvious who came and got him. So I'm not going to say that those flock cameras solved that crime. Were they part of solving that crime? Did they see that person actually leave Marion County using that flock camera? Yeah. but would they have been able to trace back using the internet chat logs and not had that, had they not had that flat camera? Yeah, it would have been solved regardless.
Well, no.
But twice they've infringed on our civil rights to use these cameras for no reason, twice that we know of.
Now, one of our listeners this morning is saying, what are they using them for? So I think that answers that question. But here's the thing. Some things, obviously, people have been dishonest about. But this is going to be such an easy thing to get caught in if they do pay for it with funds. Because just weeks ago, as I said, the police chief said, if our grant does not come through, we're not going to have them. Well, if May comes...
You'd have to ask for an ordinance to enter into the contract.
Right. So they would get caught so easy in this. That's a horrible...
Do they care?
Well, I don't know why
that's
he's...
where we are. Do they care?
Well, I don't know why he's making that statement a couple weeks ago.
Do you think the state FOP president is going to lose funding for flock cameras in his city? Do you think he's going to let that happen?
I don't know. I think that...
It'd be a real bad look, don't you think?
Well, I mean, isn't the city in a bad look right now anyway?
We're all the way around in a bad look. But I'm sure he's far more concerned with how he looks statewide in the FOP light than he is in the Marion City Police Department light. He's getting ready to retire. Remember, he told us that at the Charter City.
Yeah, but I guess what I'm saying is I don't understand why say that a few weeks ago if that was not your intention, because you did not have to say that.
I've got a screenshot of Collins. I went to a breakfast in January of 2025. It was after he gave his State of the City at City Hall. The next morning, he gave it at OSUM. I went out there to listen to it. He took written questions that day. My written question was, what's going to happen with the projected $10 million budget revenue or budget deficit by the end of the year? He read it. I said, what are you going to do? Well, we're not going to do anything because there isn't a $10 million budget deficit. That was January 2025. I took a screenshot of it. I mean, lots of things have been said. Lots of things aren't true. I mean, they honestly would be better just to keep their mouths shut on some things.
Yeah, so
I don't believe that the FOP president, I believe he's far more concerned with that role than he is with Marion City Police Chief. I don't believe he's going to allow his department to be the ones that drop the ball on flock camera funding.
Well, I think that's why the city is in one of the pickles that they're in right now, is because they have said things that have not been totally honest, or at least they were not aware of them, whatever they're going to choose to say. But, you know, there are some big issues right now in the city, which I've said this morning. I don't understand. I think this will be the last committee meeting before the plan is sent to the state, and nothing has been said by the mayor or sent out about sanitation rates, curbside recycling going away, or the bus fare increases. And it's not on the agenda tonight. So I don't understand.
Here we are, though, Scott. What do we do? If they just go ahead and just do it, what do we do? There's not a damn thing.
No, you can't. But the look on that.
We can't vote any of them out. We can't do any of it.
No, but the look on that, which is why.
That's horrible.
Right, which is why they had to raise the out-of-city work tax credit from 0 to 50%, was because the blowback was so big. So why would you want to create a blowback like that on... I don't think they get much blowback on the sanitation because they can explain that away pretty easily. But the other two, getting rid of a...
I'm willing to accept sanitation and it hits me 10 times. I mean, it's just the reality.
Right, but what I'm saying, to get rid of a program that's been there 41 years that people are passionate about, or to raise the bus fares on the people on a program that's 90% paid for by grants.
Let's just say the most needy of us ride the bus.
I mean that's going
to... It isn't the elite. It's not the elite out rolling around on the Marinier Transit, going to the doctor and going to Walmart.
No,
we're
but
hitting the poorest among us when we're raising the bus fares.
But why wouldn't you at least want to have the discussion and try to explain why you're doing it?
That's what happened last time they tried to have the discussion.
Well, you know what? They're going to have the discussion, because if they do it unilaterally, if Mayor Collins does it unilaterally, people are going to come the next week and say, why did you do that? So you're going to get the fallout either way. I don't know why you would want to do it that way.
I don't know. And then, you know, I want to go back to the flock camera thing for a second. I think we have, like, 30 of them in Marion County, which is a lot. I looked this up. I was reading. It's an extraordinary amount for a county the size of Marion. And if it's about, you know, catching people coming and going in Marion County, because that's what they're telling us, then we don't need them on, like, the bottom of the overpass over on Mark Street and George Street and State Street. We don't need them on Fairground Street. We need them in the entrances and the exits of the city. We don't need them smack dab in the middle of town if it's not about surveillance. You know, so the stuff they tell us, and with the money, I don't believe anything they say, and I haven't, and I think I've had pretty good reason. I think I've been pretty consistent with the things that I've pointed out that happened or were going to happen. They've all happened. So I think I have pretty good reason not to believe anything they say about any of it. And yes, I am going to be skeptical about everything until they show it to us. And I don't know why they just won't show it to us.
Well, I don't know. I just think that they have handled this not the best.
Thad has enough of a grasp on the police budget that he would know if there was an extra $100,000 in there for them to pay Flock or not.
Well, I don't know if Thad does, but I'm confused on who invited the Flock camera person, because if the police department wanted to prove their case that Flock cameras were a good thing, why didn't they invite the person before they spoke 2 weeks ago or 4 weeks ago or whatever it was?
I don't know. I think the best thing that the people can hope for out of this, because I'm telling you, if Jay McDonald wants this, Jay McDonald will get it, and it's absolute BS, because the county's not going to pony up one penny for it because they are broke and they actually understand the assignment to stop spending money. The city's going to foot the whole bill. If Jay McDonald wants it, he's going to get it. The best the citizens can hope is to demand oversight of it, and when they start pulling these Flock reports, you need to tell us. There needs to be citizen oversight. No more of this police stuff, because we see what kind of, how much, you know, when you pull a gun out on your fellow officers and point it at their face, we see how much trouble you get into around there. That happened in the Dameron case. He actually pulled his service pistol and pointed it at his fellow officers' faces and jokingly. But that's not a joke. But so that's how they police themselves. The citizens need to be able to see how they're using this information, why they're accessing it, and if they are targeting people, because I wholeheartedly believe they use those cameras to track their adversaries. I wholeheartedly believe that. I know it sounds like a big conspiracy, and I was never into conspiracies before I really started digging into the local government. Boy, wow. ChatGPT thinks it's a Netflix document or a Netflix series that I'm putting in there, some of this stuff.
Well, I mean, who are their adversaries?
Well, let's see. I would say Ayers Ratliff was on that list. Probably anybody affiliated with him is on that list. I'd be interested to see if my name ever appears on any list. I would say Edwards had probably been ran if they do this stuff with the Flock cameras. Let's see. Jason Schauber's probably on their list. Who else?
Wouldn't that be illegal?
Well, hell yes, it is. It's illegal when they access these Flock cameras, they have to enter a reason why they're accessing the system. There were two No Kings rallies last year. Regardless of how you feel about the No Kings rallies, they were peaceful. People were out exercising their rights, constitutionally protected rights, First Amendment. Out doing our thing, peaceful, nobody bothered anybody. The first rally, law enforcement circled the whole thing. You were there. They circled the whole time. Bales and McDonald stood at the courthouse the whole time. And now we find out that they were running Flock cameras going through the readers, and the only reason they gave was No Kings protest. Why? Why did you need to know who was at the No Kings protest? Nobody there caused any trouble. Nobody there got arrested. Nobody there was violent. Nobody there did anything. Why do you need to know who all was there? And the second time they used them was the second No Kings rally, which was also completely peaceful. Nobody caused any trouble. It was a beautiful day. You were there. Everybody had a good time. Why did they need to access Flock license plate readers to know who was in the area at that time?
Well, I guess my problem with targeting people is that I mean, what do you do?
That's
do you
not targeting? I mean, when you specifically put in no Kings protest and nobody did anything, there wasn't any crime associated with the no Kings protest.
Right, but I don't
and
know.
They're supposed to be used to fight crime, though, Scott.
Right, but has anything, has anybody been charged with something? I mean, do you just
and
have to
we
wait?
How do we know that they didn't compile some list of protesters?
Well, I don't know. See, this is the thing. In the world we live in, I don't know how you don't get surveilled somehow by someone or some group.
Okay, but there, here's the difference. Okay, like me catching you on my Ring doorbell is different than taxpayer dollars being used to compile lists of people that are involved in anti-government activity.
Well, I would like to, I mean, I don't think you can keep that a secret if you're the police department.
Well, they tried to. It was that EFS Foundation that found out about it.
So the Marion Police Department has a list of people who they...
I don't know. No, I didn't say that. I said they used the Flock camera system in Marion, Ohio. They accessed it twice with the reason, no King protest. But, like, it was showing the other reasons why other departments, when they access the information, what they do. Like, those missing adults, like a missing endangered adult, a missing child. That sort of thing. They'll put the reason why they're accessing the system. The reason why they accessed the system in Marion twice was no King's protest. That was it.
Well, here's one from Matt in your direction
this
morning.
That's not a crime, though, Matt or Scott. That's not a reason to access that system. No King's protest.
Now, here's a question.
That's a protected activity.
Now, Matt is saying, I would like to point out that her argument is basically the argument I've given against the Patriot Act. And Naomi disagreed with me on it and said, basically, they would have used it they wouldn't use it in an illegal manner.
I never said that. I never said that the Patriot Act would not be used in a legal manner. I never said that.
I don't know. I guess I would have to see somebody brought up on some kind of charge without any other outside force, just strictly on the basis of the Flock cameras.
I didn't say that. So it would actually take someone being arrested and charged before you would see that there might be a potential to abuse it.
Right.
It would actually have to be abused and someone's rights violated before you would say it needs to be reined in.
Well, I guess
shouldn't
it's because
controls on it before it gets out of control. Shouldn't we say you're only limited to using it in this, and if you use it for any other reason, then you will be disciplined. Or how's this? This is what I'll just go ahead and announce it now. I'm gonna announce it tonight too. I'm going to do whatever I have to do to pay to be able to know when Marion City Police Department access or Marion County Sheriff's Office accesses those cameras. I'm going to find out. And when they do, and it's not for a good reason, I'm going to bring Fourth Amendment lawsuit against them every single time. So I'm going to be the one that reins them in if the city refuses to do it. I will do it. I promise.
Well, if they're doing it incorrectly, I think we all want to know that. But
we have two instances of it, Scott. I have two instances of it. There's no reason why they need to get into Flock cameras to find out who's attending a protest. There's no reason. And that's it. You know, okay, if the Trump people were down there and they were having a pro-Trump rally, and now the police are accessing databases, seeing whose license plates are there, and possibly compiling a list, because there's a national database. I mean, Flock keeps this information. So technically, I mean, people from California can dip in and see what Naomi Craig in Marion, Ohio is doing.
But I guess what I'm trying to figure out, okay, is if, let's say, somebody at the No Kings protest was arrested for theft 3 months later, and we find out that they were at the No Kings protest because it was surveilled, what does that mean? I mean, they're not allowed to go to a protest?
Why do the police need to know who was at the protest?
I don't know. It seems like a waste of time. What are you going to use that for?
Clearly, they needed to know it twice. They wanted to know it both times.
But I guess I'm just asking, what situation?
So right there, have them explain to us why they accessed that system twice. During the No Kings, the reason No Kings protest?
I think that's a fair question, but I guess I'm just confused.
So there's a citizen oversight.
Right, but I mean, what? how could that benefit them in any way? They know everybody who was at the No Kings protest. Okay. Well, what is that going to be used against you? How is that going to be used against you?
Well, I don't know. They're all big Republicans. I mean, it all goes back to being dues-paying members of the Republican Party. And then there we all are up there protesting their president. And now they've got a list of everybody that's protesting their president.
Well, I mean, I was there, but I wasn't protesting.
Well, you know what I'm saying.
Right, no, I guess I'm just, I guess the problem is,
What did they need that information for? What possible reason could they need that information?
Right, that's what I'm wondering.
Clearly they wanted it both times there was a rally, because both times they accessed those cameras.
I do not speak for the police department, but I bet you I will tell you what they will say. What they will say is there was the possibility of violence. That's why they were there. And they were using it. If violence would have broken out, they would have been able to identify the person easier.
It's supposed to be an after-the-fact thing. It's supposed to be to solve crime. It's not supposed to be, you're not supposed to use flock cameras to look for crimes. You're supposed to use flock cameras to capture people driving away from crimes or whatever. It's not meant to build cases with. You're not supposed to be able to say, okay, according to our flock cameras, that car has been on George Street 10 times. You're not supposed to be able to do that. It's supposed to disappear. You're not supposed to be able to use it to build a record. It's supposed to be for things like endangered children or adults and missing children and that sort of stuff. It's not supposed to be used to build cases against people, and that's what they're using it for.
Well,
I'm telling you, I don't care if people like the No Kings rallies or not. The fact that the people, they wanted to know who was there to the point that they would access cameras that they've told us that they don't use for any other reasons than solving crimes. What crimes were committed that you needed to access those cameras?
Well, I guess, okay, now like most schools have cameras now. Now, those cameras are not there to create crime, but they're
okay,
there...
I can't pay to tap into those cameras, though.
Well, no.
I can't pay to tap into those cameras.
Right.
And that footage disappears eventually.
Right. But I'm guessing that's going to be the answer in the No Kings protest, is that's why we were there. We were called
okay,
in.
No, we were out doing a constitutionally protected activity.
Right.
The police drove around all day. The sheriff drove around all day. Jay McDonald and Matt Bales stood around all day.
But weren't they asked to be
no
there?
There was no reason to collect license plates of the people that were there.
So they collected license plate numbers.
That's what flock cameras do. They read license plates, tell you the vehicles in the area. So in theory, think about this, all you people, all the MAGAs that drove by honking their horns and flipping us off, you're on the list too, possibly, because you were in the area at the time.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Would that be the best place to collect information?
I don't know. We're talking about RPD now. Look what they did to Ayers. Look at that investigation. I mean,
well, I guess to me, it just all, I guess I just would have such a hard time.
Does that make sense? Is that what it is?
Well, that it, yeah, I can't figure out exactly how this would help them.
I can't either, but they did it, and they told us that that's not what they use these things for. They only use it to solve crimes. What crime was committed then? The No Kings rallies, two of them, that you needed to access these cameras.
Okay, now just in our final couple minutes here, let's say that you are told, as the police department, there is a bomb threat was called in. Okay, a bomb threat was called in, but the organization wants to continue to go on and have their event. Now, would you, even though no crime has been committed yet, nobody's blown up anything, would you put the cameras on that before anything happened?
Well, yes, you have a credible threat.
Right. So if the police are called in by the No Kings protesters...
They did this after the fact. They looked at the camera footage after the fact. Not while it was happening. Not before it. They looked at it after the rallies were over.
The police department did.
Yes. They accessed it after
Well, that's a good question. And I don't know why they would look at it after. What did they do with it?
I don't know. Why did they need to know who was in those areas at that time?
Well, a lot of people drove through downtown Marion at that time that had...
Yeah.
They weren't for it or against it.
And hey, they're all on camera.
Yeah, so I guess what's the point then?
I don't know. I don't know. You know, I mean, it's not honest, though. Not what they're telling us they're using the cameras for.
I would just like to find out what the rhyme or reason to any of this is. I don't understand what the purpose is.
I mean, you know, and I don't know how that information could benefit them either. But as someone who was there protesting, I don't like the fact that, well, I mean, I walk, but I don't like the fact that my information could potentially be on a list somewhere simply because I went to exercise my constitutional protected rights.
Well, somebody's asking, how did you find out that they used the cameras at the protest?
I'll send you the link. It's an Electronic Freedom Foundation. They're an organization that monitors the digital, basically the way law enforcement uses the digital world to surveil people, etc. They're a credible organization. I checked them out. Otherwise, I wouldn't be quoting them. But they did basically an audit nationwide, and that's how I found out that regular people are able to access this information themselves for a fee. But they did an audit nationwide, and boom, there was Marion, Ohio Police Department on there twice.
Well, I'm from another person here.
So it wasn't just like them going after Marion, Ohio. They were going after it nationwide, and Marion, Ohio was on their list twice.
Well, I guess this is just from somebody out there listening. It is not illegal to access information gathered by flock cameras for any reason. These cameras are privately owned. Police departments have policies that are just suggestions for the other information. These policies are part of the sales pitch to ease the minds of the general public that they are not being used as a surveillance tool. A condo association has the same access to the information as police departments do. The reason condo associations want to have flock cameras is to know who's coming and going in the neighborhood.
There you go. If the condo association uses them for that reason, I think it would lend a little credence to that's the reason why our police department's using them also.
So, well, I guess we'll find out tonight. It should be an interesting meeting.
It should be. Hey. Talk to you later, Steve.
Thanks for calling. Bye-bye. All right, and for this day, Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
Go home at night, Helen, and think, my goodness, this person said that, this person said that. Does it keep you up at nights?
Well,